In this morning's reading, we see an individual among the Israelites who very boldly comes before God through Moses and basically says, "It's time for me to get what you promised." I think there's a lot that we can learn from the various characters that we see in the Old Testament. We have a lot of stories of people who are God's children, people who are not God's children. We have people who are doing right. We have people who are doing wrong. And we can learn from all of them. And we want to take some time this morning and look at, well, at this time, he's an older fella, 85-year-old Caleb. Caleb is mentioned a few times in Scripture. And every time he is mentioned somewhere in that context, it talks about the character that he had. And so we want to talk this morning about Caleb, and I've titled this lesson, Patiently Courageous. Because I think that's what we see in Caleb. He did get what he asked for, what God had promised that he would receive. But he waited a long time and endured a lot of difficulty in order to get there. We're going to talk this morning about who Caleb was, why he is someone who could expect to get what God had promised, and then what those things mean for us today. I think it's important that we consider these things and we look at these characters to help us as we go through life, because they tell us all about God and His relationship with His children. Other stories will tell us about God and His relationship with those who don't have a relationship with Him. And we'll probably look at some of those in the coming years if we live that long. We'll get a few of them in a few months maybe. But we want to look at Caleb this morning, and as we talk about Caleb, there's a couple of things I want us to take note of. When we look at Caleb, he is described in Joshua chapter 14 and verse 6 as the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite. And it's very likely that that indicates that he, at least in some part of his lineage, is from the lineage of Esau. You remember Esau. He was the brother of Jacob. He was the other half of those twins. Now, certainly Caleb had been a part of the nation of Israel for some time, and we'll touch on this a little later, but he was called one of the leaders. So he had been a part, but somewhere in his ancestry, it's very likely that there were some of the Kenizzites. We read in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 19, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, and the Kadmonites, and it's talking about people who inhabited Canaan. And then in chapter 36 and verse 11, we have there, actually verse 11 and verse 15, we have there listed the sons of Esau. The chief of the sons of Esau, we read in verse 15 of Genesis 36, the sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn of Esau, the chiefs Teman, Omar, Zephah, and Kenaz. And of course, these are made mention of again in 1 Chronicles chapter 1 and giving some of the genealogies there. And they are of Eliphaz, who is from Esau. That's where the Kenizzites came from. Now, how Caleb ended up with Israel, there's nothing that records that. But he was known as Jephunneh the Kenizzite. And so that means there may have been some outside of Israel in his background. But when we look at Caleb and what is said about him and what is said about his character, and we consider some of the things that happened after Caleb that give us an indication of the kind of man he was as a leader, I think it becomes very clear to us that he was a true Israelite in spirit. He served God. Look again at Joshua chapter 14 and verse 14. It says, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now, if you think back to our studies during the time of the kings of Israel, you will remember that Hebron was a stronghold of the kings of Israel in the days of David. In fact, Hebron is where David reigned first as one who was from Judah. They made him king before Israel made him king, even during the days of Solomon. And upon the death of Solomon and his sons, Hebron accepted and promoted David as king because they were a stronghold of Israel. I think that says a lot about Caleb. As we'll read and study, as we look at these things and the things we have written about Caleb here in these texts, we will note that Caleb took Hebron. And evidently he held it well. And evidently he taught his descendants what it meant to follow God. I think it speaks to the character of Caleb. Now when we read about Caleb way back in Numbers chapter 13, the beginning of the children of Israel getting to the land of Canaan, you remember that's the story of the spies being sent out. And God told Moses to send out spies, one from every tribe of their fathers. They needed to be a chief among their tribe. And we read in Numbers 13 and verse 6 of the tribe of Judah, Caleb the son of Jephunneh. He was a chief. He was a leader. And I think that's part of what we see in looking at what happened with Hebron later on, even in the days of David, several hundred years down the road. After all the things that we studied about in the book of Judges, Hebron was still a place that was a stronghold for the leaders of Israel. They listened to God, and I think that's because of Caleb and his influence. At least partly. We also recognize that Caleb was a man of courage. When we go back to Numbers chapter 13 and we read that story there, we're not going to read the whole story. It's somewhat familiar to most of us. But you read there in Numbers chapter 13 and you read about those who were chosen to send. And we find that they were sent in verse 21 to spy out the land of Canaan from the wilderness of Zin to Rehob near Lebo-Hamath. And when they came back with the fruits of the land. They came back with a cluster of grapes hanging between two men. That's a big cluster of grapes, folks. They came back with pomegranates and other things, the produce of the land. And they talked about how great and wonderful the land was, how bountiful it was, and how beautiful and how well prepared it would be for them to have that land. And then they said, but, well, nevertheless, there's giants there. There's big, scary, fortified cities there. We look like grasshoppers to ourselves in their sight and to them, it tells us. And so there's no way we're ever going to get all this bounty. But in verse 30 of Numbers chapter 13, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. You remember there were 12 spies sent. There were two men who stood up. But Caleb seems to be the one that stands up and speaks other than Moses. At this particular time, if you go read there in Numbers chapter 13, it seems there's four men and some of the Levites, or at least a majority of the Levites, who stand up against the people and against those who were saying, we can't take that land. But Caleb is one of those who stood up and spoke out. He said, let's go take it right now. Because he knew God was with him. That demonstrates that he was a man of courage. He was willing to stand firm in the face of danger. You continue reading that story and you get to Numbers chapter 14 and verse 10. It says, then all the congregation said to stone them with stones. If Caleb's still there. The glory of the Lord intervened, appeared at the tent of meeting to all the people of Israel and halted them from stoning them. But he was willing to stand firm. And I think chapter 13 of Numbers, verse 26 through 30, makes clear why that is the case. And you begin reading there, you talk about them coming back to Moses and Aaron and the congregation of the people in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation, showed them the fruit of the land. They told them, we came to the land which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negeb. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. Now, anybody who's read about the promises that God made to the nation of Israel know that God told them those people lived there before He took them out of Egypt, or as He had them around Mount Sinai. And that He would drive them out before them. These people were scared, but this is when Caleb stands up, quiets the people before Moses, and says, let's go up at once and occupy. It's full of giants. It's full of fortified cities. Let's go take it. Because he had complete and total trust in God. Verse 8 and 9 of Numbers chapter 14. If the Lord delights in us, He will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. That's a bold statement to make when everybody around you is saying, we can't do this. I think that tells us who Caleb was. He was courageous because he put his trust in God. In fact, as we consider about his request that he made to Moses there in Joshua chapter 14 that we read in our text, he came to Joshua and said, give me my mountain. Give me the hill country. Because he put his trust in God. We have three statements of Caleb's trust in God. First, God himself, in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24, and I know these aren't in order chronologically, but God comes first. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. God said, Caleb has a different spirit and has followed me fully. That's why he's going to get what he was looking for. Moses in Joshua chapter 9, Caleb quotes from Moses. He says, Moses swore on that day saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And of course, Caleb himself had just said that about himself, just the verse before. My brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. You want to know why Caleb received his reward? Because he wholly followed the Lord his God. There was a lot he had to put up with while wholly following the Lord his God. But I want us to consider also, there are other things that Caleb received from God because he wholly followed God. And then we'll look, after we look at some of these things, we'll look at how those things might apply to us and how they might be helpful to us as we go through our life, because that's what we want to do, is take the lessons we learned from Caleb and apply them to ourselves. And the scripture tells us that Caleb was spared by God because he devoted himself wholly to it. The Lord has kept me alive, he says in Joshua 14 and verse 10. Just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness, and now behold, I am this day 85 years old. Caleb said, God has kept me alive so I can receive this reward. God has protected me. He has spared me from death. And what he's referencing is the fact that all of Israel Every man who walked across the dry ground of the Red Sea died in the wilderness except for he and Joshua. And they both walked across the dry land of the Jordan riverbed to enter into the land of Canaan. God spared me from death. Why? Because Caleb wholly followed the Lord. When all of his brethren died because of their unbelief, Caleb lived. He was spared by God. He was spared discouragement. Now maybe this is one that'll affect us a little more than sparing our life. But understand, that will affect us as well. Remember when Caleb was talking about what happened when they returned? My brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Think about that. He heard the same report these 10 spies were giving to the nation of Israel, talking about the giants and the fortified cities. But because he wholly followed the Lord his God, he was not discouraged. Putting his whole self into serving God kept him from discouragement that destroyed his brothers. In fact, he stood up and quieted the people because he wasn't afraid of the fortified cities nor the giants. He was spared from disbelief. Remember, he said, let's go up and occupy it at once. In Numbers chapter 14 and verse 11, we read, the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people despise me, and how long will they not believe in me in spite of all the signs that I have done among them? But in verse 24, but Caleb, my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. All of his brethren fell because of unbelief. Because they were discouraged. But Caleb was spared from such because he wholly followed the Lord. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 16 through 19, for who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter in because of unbelief. Their unbelief cost them the land of Canaan. But because Caleb wholly devoted himself to the Lord his God, he was spared such unbelief. He was spared from death, as we made allusion to a moment ago. Those who went to spy out the land, they died of a plague almost immediately. You read there in Numbers chapter 14, along about verse 36 or 37. Only Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh remained alive. Paul references the destruction of the Israelites because of their unbelief in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. When he tells the Corinthian brethren, we must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. They tested God and they failed. Interesting. They tested God and they failed. They lost their lives because of their unbelief. Caleb lived a strong life too because he wholly trusted in the Lord his God. The Lord has kept me alive for 45 years. I'm as strong today as I was 45 years ago. As strong for war, as strong for going out, as strong for coming in. Because the Lord has kept me. He gave me strength. He's protected me. And in Joshua chapter 15 and verse 14 we read, Caleb drove out from there the three sons of Anak, Shishai, Ahiman, Talmah, the descendants of Amak. Now, I don't think that's telling us that Caleb went in there all by himself and beat those three giants. I think it means Caleb took his armies and defeated the giants, ran them out. Maybe Judah helped him. This text does not specify that. It indicates generally that Caleb had the Lord on his side and he went in and was able to run those people out and take over their cities. And Hebron became his city and his descendants. Why? Because he depended upon the Lord for his strength. Notice it says in Joshua chapter 14 and verse 12, "It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall drive them out just as the Lord has said." And I want to take just a moment here to note that Caleb expresses this in a manner that makes it clear that he understood there was some conditions on God helping him. I think Caleb knew, and it was clear to him, that God would help him as long as he trusted in God. And so he says, "It may be that the Lord will help me." He had trust and confidence that God would do what he said. But he also understood that it was conditional on him continuing to wholly trust in the Lord his God. His faith was challenged by the giants. Not just his physical strength, but his spiritual strength came from God. He didn't ask Joshua, "You go in and cleanse this land with the armies of Israel, and then I'll go move in and live there." He said, "No, give me this. This is my inheritance. Write it in the book. Mark it down, give the boundaries, and we'll go in there and take care of it." Because God is with us. And we see the faithfulness of God in fulfilling His promises, because He did give Caleb that hill country. Caleb was satisfied with what God would provide. We see that all the way back in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 8. "If the Lord delights in us, He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey." And I think the other thing that we see in regards to Caleb receiving this reward from God is that he was willing to wait patiently until the time comes. He expresses that patience, that remaining with God for that 45 years when he talks to Joshua. They're in Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 12. "It is now at time. It's the time for me to receive what was mine. I've waited for 45 years. And it doesn't seem to be an expression of God has not blessed me. It's time now. I knew the time would come, and I have patiently and courageously continued in serving God until that time came." Caleb was able to defeat his enemies and live at peace in that area because he put his trust wholly in God, and God was with him because of that. Caleb, a man of courage, a man of character, a man who gave himself wholly to the Lord, I think gives us an example that we can learn from, and we can see how some of these things might apply to us today. I think the benefits that we get from looking at Caleb and his story are the benefits of a lesson in character. And first and foremost in that character is that phrase, "wholly follow the Lord his God." I think it's much needed today. Because he wholly followed the Lord his God, he had courage. And if we will wholly follow the Lord our God, we can have courage today. We can live our lives in a manner that we are not afraid of what's going on in the world. That we're not beset by concerns of persecution and fear that people might reject us. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and you might turn your Bibles over there. We got three or four texts here. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, Paul says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." Paul said, Timothy, the spirit you received is not a spirit of fear. It's a spirit that gives you power. And I think included in that idea of power is courage to stand. It is a spirit of love, which I think we would recognize today as a care and concern for our fellow man and especially for our brethren. We could go to a number of passages in Paul's epistles alone that would emphasize that. But it is also a spirit of self-control, keeping myself. And I think when we look at the life of Caleb, and understand the 45 years that he waited, it was a time of self-control. But he remained focused and dedicated. He continued in God's will. There's a phrase that has come to mind as I was thinking about Caleb. I've got it actually in the outline later on, but we're going to go ahead and talk about it now because it applies here as much as anything. His willingness to continue. His courage to remain and not be afraid. Caleb, for 45 years, wandered in a wilderness with a group of people that were whiny complainers. Every time you go and read that story of the Israelites wandering in the wilderness and you hear about them complaining because the food isn't the kind of food they wanted, remember, not only Moses heard that, Caleb was hearing that. And yet he continued to wait on the Lord. When they traveled to a new place and they said, "Why are you taking us here?" Caleb picked up his stuff, carried it, set it back down, and went on about his business of doing what God told him to do. I think that's evident to us in what is said about Caleb when he comes to Joshua seeking to receive. "I've waited. I remain faithful in all of this." Why? Because he had courage and he had dedication. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, "Which is why I suffer as I do. I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I believe and am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me." We get scared sometimes about what's going on around us. And what we need to do is get back in the Word of God so that we can be reminded again that God is with us. And there is nothing that man can do to us that will take us away from God. We need to remain courageous and dedicated. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, "Always be sober-minded, enduring suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." In chapter 2 and verse 15, he had told him, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. A worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." In other words, keep doing what you're supposed to be doing no matter what's going on around you. And there again, I think of Caleb, wandering in the wilderness with a pack of whiners. Yet he remained faithful to God. Did he ever feel like things have kind of made a downward turn? Things aren't going the way I thought they were going to? Maybe. Yet he continued away. He continued away. All the people complaining, no water, we won't meet. Caleb just kept waiting on the Lord. Just kept doing what it was he was supposed to do. Remember, he was a leader of his tribe, one of the chiefs of the tribe of Judah. So he would have heard these things. Yet he kept going. Why? Because he had confidence in God. And therefore he was willing to wait. Peter tells us the Lord's not slow to fulfill his promises, some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And I know this is in this context of the world's going to end. And there's some folks saying it's not going to because it hadn't happened already. But I'm telling you, the world's going to end. But the principle is the same whether we're applying it to concern for the end of the world or concern for what's going on in our lives today. God will fulfill His promise. It may not happen in the time frame I would have, but it will happen. And in studying and thinking about Caleb a little bit over this last week even, some of the thoughts that come to mind, I wonder if Caleb ever thought, how much longer, Lord? How much longer do I have to wait? Maybe he did. But it didn't keep him from continuing to wait. It didn't cause him to turn away from God. He remained faithful because he put his trust in God's promise. He waited. Like I said, he traveled with a disobedient and whiny bunch. I thought of Lot. You know, we read of Lot over in Peter's epistle, and he talks about how righteous Lot vexed his soul daily by living in the city of Sodom. Lot chose to live there. Caleb didn't. And he chose to stay. I understand that. But Caleb was amongst a group of people that should have been an encouragement to him. But when we read about the Israelites as they wandered in the wilderness, I think it comes very clear to us that the Israelites as a whole were not an encouragement to anyone. They were a discouragement. Yet Caleb still waited. And I think about those folks that say, well, I quit going to church because there was a hypocrite there. Or there was a guy who did this. Or somebody said this to me. And of course, like a lot of folks, I'm thinking, well, you were going for the wrong reasons anyway then, if that's the case. You were looking to the wrong sources. We need to make sure we have that attitude of Caleb, and when things go wrong, things aren't going the way we think they ought to, not as quickly as we wish they should, or things are going bad around us, we just keep doing what God would have us to do and doing the best we can and looking to Him and putting our trust in Him and waiting on Him. We sing a song, in His time. In His time. Jesus didn't come when the Israelites were captured by Nebuchadnezzar because it wasn't time yet. Jesus didn't come when the Greeks came in. He didn't come when the Greeks couldn't agree with who was in charge of Jerusalem. Because it wasn't time yet. But when the time came, Jesus was born. Just as God had planned. In His time. We need to remember that. We need to recognize that our responsibility is what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, yourselves, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And notice there, Paul says, present your bodies. Not just present your mind, but present your bodies. It has to do with how we conduct ourselves. with what we do, not just what we think, not just what we feel, but what we do. We need to be a living sacrifice. And I think Caleb can help us with that when we look at how he continued to serve God. He continued to wait. I know Caleb said he was just as strong at 85 as he was at 40. But I'm not just as strong at 60 as I was at 40. And if there was something that I was going to receive from God to enjoy, a land, a home, a house, a place of my own, my thoughts are, if I can get it when I'm 40, I get to enjoy it that much more. But you know what happened to Caleb? He wandered around in the wilderness with a bunch of disobedient, whiny people and didn't get it when he was 40. He could have, but it wasn't for those folks. But he patiently waited. When he got it at 85, he was just as joyful and thankful for it. And it was as if he thought, this is exactly when I'm supposed to get this. I shouldn't have had it before. It's mine now. God gave it to me. We need to be careful of that attitude I wish I already had. Because it'll come. In God's time. And we need to go ahead and live our lives as we ought, as sacrifices unto God. Until that time comes. We're going to face our own time of waiting. And even when that time comes that we are done waiting, we may face, as Caleb did, a mountain. Remember, Caleb didn't just walk into Hebron and sit down and take a nap. Or lay down and take a nap. Caleb still had to conquer the country. He still had to take that fortified city belonging to giants. We should not be afraid to claim the promises of God. We may have personal weaknesses we have to overcome. We may run into difficult tasks. Am I going to stand firm with God? Am I going to let that deter me? When I finally get to that point that it looks like I'm getting the blessing that God has promised me, am I going to whine and complain because I have to work for it? Am I just going to go out and do what I'm supposed to do in order to receive what God has promised me? Malachi rebukes the people of God in Malachi chapter 3. And he's rebuking regarding some of their worship activities, in particular their tithes. They weren't giving to God as they ought. But I think there's a principle that's taught in these passages that helps us, not just in our giving, our tithes. Certainly it would help us in that. But in all of the things that we need to do for God. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. Are there some things that you know you need to be doing for God? That you're not giving everything you ought. Remember, Caleb wholly followed the Lord his God. Is there something where you're not giving your all? You're willing to give a part, but you're not willing to go all in? Maybe that's why you're not getting any more blessing from God than you are. God told the Israelites through Malachi, if you go all in, I'll pour out blessings such that you won't be able to handle them. I wonder if maybe that's a principle that I need to apply more diligently in my service unto God. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 7. He tells us in Matthew chapter 6 that if we will put our focus upon serving God first and foremost, above all other things, if we will wholly follow the Lord our God, above all else, all these things will be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things are yours. Are we wholly surrendering ourselves to God? Caleb surrendered his life to God. In fact, when he stood before the people, he pretty much literally put his life on the line for God. They were ready to stone him. By being satisfied with God's plan, he remained strong until he received the reward. God can help us with whatever's going on in our life if we keep our courage and confidence in Him. If we put our trust and hope in Him. If we, like Caleb, wholly follow the Lord. We can't hold back. We can't try to move forward with doubt. We can't waver. We need to put everything we have into serving God. We need to have a different spirit . Isn't that what it said about Caleb? Numbers 14, verse 24. My servant Caleb, because he had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. We need to give our all to God. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, it's not those who say, Lord, Lord. But it's those who do the will of the Father who receive the promises. I think we see that in Caleb. You know, if you continue that story in the book of Numbers, the Israelites, after hearing God's rebuke, they say, well, we'll go now. We'll trust you now. And of course, they went up and they were defeated because God wasn't with them. I think it's an indication. They said they believed God when it fit their thoughts. But they didn't really believe God. And they died in the wilderness because of it. Caleb wholly followed the Lord, his God. We need to have another spirit. The invitation song that we're about to sing, A New Creature, talks about how when we are buried with Christ and we rise up out of that watery grave, we are a new creature. We have a different spirit. A spirit of submission and sacrifice. A spirit of confidence and dependence. A spirit of trust and faith in God, not ourselves. Do you have that confidence in God? Are you assured of your salvation because you have given your life to the Lord and you are still holding firm, wholly following God? If not, we encourage you to make the corrections, to be right in the sight of God, to give your life wholly to Him. Obey Him and be buried in baptism, turning from self and the world. You can rise that new creature, having had your sins washed away by His blood. Done that in the past and you realize that you've failed, you have things that you're not doing as you ought, we encourage you to pray to God and confess those wrongs and ask Him for forgiveness. If the things are public in nature, then yes, take the step to correct them publicly, whatever is necessary. And if we can assist you in anything in being greater devoted to God, we're here to help in any way we possibly can. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come while we stand and sing for encouragement?